start off a basic introduction of, well, I guess the common knowledge we all have is that light is essential for basically all life on the planet. And as foresters, we're pretty interested in photosynthesis, and specifically, we're interested in the photosynthetically active radiation, which is the wavelengths of the electromagnetic spectrum that plants utilize to photosynthesize. And that's the 400 to 700 nanometer range. Silviculture is largely a light manipulation to get desired results in the understory. And we know that as cutting increases the amount of light reaching the forest floor, but there are differences in composition and vertical canopy structure that may lead to different amounts of photosynthetically active radiation given the same silvicultural practice. I suppose what I'm getting at there is if you're looking at a stand of white pine, a thinning of say left 50 basal area, 50 feet of basal area per square foot, versus an upland oak stand, it'd be a significantly different amount of light, and the light environment would be significantly different. And from an ecological perspective, there's a body of evidence that specific species actually have different requirements or optimized amounts of photosynthetically active radiation, which enable maximum growth or best growth for them. And so targets are actually being developed for these species. And the implication is that for regeneration, like for loblolly or oaks, this would be something that land managers would be interested in understanding and using. What I'd like to do is try to help managers find a way to relate these specific PAR levels to more practical field measurements. They're not going to be able to carry around these light measurement devices out in the field, so I need some way of using, applying this, for example, to basal area, something that they're really relatively familiar with using. Look at the strength of relationships between the PAR and these variables, such as the basal area and the canopy cover, and how they change through forest types and various silvicultural treatments. PAR light measurement can be done in several different ways, but two basic ways are the instantaneous method and the integrated method. The instantaneous is a short-term measurement where we'll take the septometer in this case. We'll go into a stand, and we'll go from one sampling point to another, and we'll stay briefly at each point and collect the photosynthetically active radiation with the septometer. The advantage of that is you get good coverage over the whole area of the stand. The disadvantage of it is that you're only there at each point for a brief period of time, so you don't have the temporal variability there. The integrated method is where these sensors are placed in the stand at fixed locations. They remain there for longer durations, hours, days, or possibly weeks. And the good thing about the integrated or continuous measurements is these it enables light data to be collected for a specific spot for these long periods of time, so you know what's going on right there on that location. Unfortunately, it's rather expensive, and the cost for these integrated methods is that you probably only have a few points in the stand to collect the data, so you don't have the spatial coverage that you would with the instantaneous, but you gain in the temporal or the temporal variability range. It's lower variability for those individual spots. I just touched on that. I'm interested in how the variability changes within these different forest types and stand structures, and it's not well documented, and that's a reason to conduct this research. The number of ecological impacts of forest management practices, and what I'm interested in is are these management practices simplifying composition and structure of the forest stands, and does it lead to reduced variability in the habitats? And there's a slide to illustrate what I'm trying to get at. On the left is a stand that's natural or unmanaged for the most part. We have high vertical heterogeneity and very low horizontal heterogeneity. I guess the high vertical heterogeneity meaning that there's a lot of variability in a vertical plane, and on the horizontal plane there's very little. In the shelter wood illustrated on the right, we have reduced vertical heterogeneity because the tree has been removed, but we have increased horizontal heterogeneity resultant from the gaps that are created during logging. And the question of interest here is, are the temporal and spatial heterogeneity and light different between these managed stands and unmanaged stands? So I'd like to look at the hypothesis that implementation of silvicultural practices results in reduced variability in understory photosynthetically active radiation. And I'd like to compare the spatial and temporal heterogeneity, the degrees in which it varies, understory PAR across multiple silviculture treatments and controls. Also, I wish to compare the strength of relationships between the PAR and canopy cover, PAR and basal area, and canopy cover and basal area across the treatments and controls. And this is a way to tie the light measurements into practical forestry mensuration. And regarding the study site, it will be located on the Daniel Boone National Forest in Kentucky. It's somewhere down the lower area of the state, near London. This is a portion of the study area. The dots on these stands indicate sampling points where regeneration samples will be taken. These are also the points where I'll be collecting light information. There are four silvicultural treatments for the study and one control or controls. Shelter wood, it's pretty heavy cutting, virtually a clear cut with 10 to 15 square feet per acre of residual basal area. An oak shelter wood, 60 to 75 square feet per acre, and herbicide will be used to maintain it in the future. Thinning to the B level, the Gingrich stocking chart, vigor and crown class will be used to decide which trees to remove. And what was called a woodland thinning with a leave of about 30 to 50 square feet per acre of residual. And fire will be used for long-term maintenance of those stands and the controls. Regarding data collection, we're going to use a digital plant canopy imager to look at the canopy cover. This will give us a direct measurement of canopy cover in these stands. We're going to go into each of the stands once in the season and use this device. The Accupar septometer is the device we're going to be using to collect the PAR measurements. This involves, you need two of these in order to conduct the study. One will be placed out in the open, and it'll collect data throughout the day. And the other one, this will give us a baseline for your maximum amount of sunlight that's available. And the other will be used in the stands at the points to collect data so we can compare the amount of light that's coming through the stand at these individual points and compare that with the maximum amount outside. This gives us a reference. We'll be sampling these points in mid-June, mid-July, mid-August, and typically in two-hour time spans, morning, noon, and afternoon, and late evening, or evening. And we're going to try to center all these measurements around solar noon. So in this case, an example, if solar noon is at 1:30, the morning session will be from 9:30 to 11:30, and then the noon period would be 12:30 to 2:30. The afternoon would be 3:30 to 5:30. Here's an unlabeled use for the septometer. Looking at data analysis, we'd like to compute and compare the variances across time periods and treatments. One thing that I'm interested in looking at is kriging, which is a way to basically map the light environment in the understory. And here's an example of one that was done in a longleaf pine study. And it shows the isoplethes of the light in the understory. We're also interested in the relationship between PAR and basal area, canopy cover, et cetera. We're going to look at that with regression analysis. And I'd like to thank Dr. Buckley, Dr. Stacy Clark with the Forest Service, Dr. Jason Henry, I've been out with the kriging, and Forest Service. It's actually a digital. I haven't used it. I haven't even looked at it myself yet. I know we're going to be using it for the study. But it takes a digital image of the canopy. They look expensive.
You had like a contour map on there.
It's a way to determine whether or not your cutting regime is putting the light where you need it. And basically, doing a little research, it seemed like it had practical application. If foresters knew how much light the individual species given the species are managing for, how much light they required, they give them a better way to actually utilize that information and make sure they cut met their needs. That's what I'm interested in, but I don't know that I'll be able to do that. Michael, weeks ago, it'd be great if you had a model that would put low aspect composition and all that to enable land managers to make judgment calls on how they're going to, you know, set up their prescriptions. But that, ideally, that'd be the way that they go. At least, I think from a practical perspective, as the reason light is so important, because it's one thing that we can definitely manage or influence by our harvesting techniques and how we set up timber harvesting boundaries and whatever. But I think they're both critically important. So.
Additional questions? All right.